Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome. Did any of you, when you were younger, ever play with Lego?
Yes.
Okay, raise your hands if you played with Lego. Do you know what's nice about Lego? You can build something, and if you make a mistake, you break it down, you start over, and you just build it again. It's a bit like playing with clay. If they give you clay and they ask you to make something and you make it and it's not right, you squash it, you start again, you can make it better. And nobody will even know that you had that first one that didn't work. There's a lot of things in life that if we think about it, it's easy to do things over. The one thing that is very difficult to do is to do life over. I want to ask a question. How many of you that is here today has situations, circumstances, events in your life that when they happened, it caused so much problems, so much drama, so much whatever, that in a sense, if you could have the opportunity to do it over, you would love to do it over. Just wave at me. Okay. Here's the thing. We can't necessarily go back to fix things that happened. Because what's done is done. Your life is not Lego. You can't break it down and just start over. But here's something that I want to give you, and I want to give you some hope. God can give you a new beginning. A lot of us have messed up in life. A lot of us have fallen short. You know, the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Don't feel lacquer when you say that, because that's not good. But there's a couple of wives that looked at their husband like, I'll pray for you later. But the fact of the matter is, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody in this place is perfect, including myself. We are all human, we are all fallible, and we've all made mistakes and we've all messed up. And you know, sometimes some of the things that happened in our life bring us to a place that we get stuck. I don't know if any of you here can relate to what I'm trying to describe. Maybe there's been a time in your life where things that happened, events that happened, something somebody did to you or something you did to somebody else or whatever, it caused you to be stuck. Is there anybody that has ever felt that way, like your life got stuck? Well, I want to give you a scripture. Actually, before I give you the scripture, I'm going to share with you something that happened to me. If I have to think about it, probably it was roughly 2 to 3 months ago. I went to go and pick up my son Matthew, and I was sitting in my car. I had to wait for him because he was busy doing sports at the school where he trains and he coaches. And I was sitting in the car. I remember I was sitting under a tree, and I was praying and I was talking to God. And in a sense, I was crying and I was pouring out my heart to God about my life and about the situation that I was facing. And you know, I had this thing in me that, Lord, do you even hear my cry? I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Sometimes we feel like we talk to God, we talk to God, we talk to God, and it's like, but nothing is happening, nothing is changing. Lord, are you hearing me? And I remember I opened my eyes, and I had the most amazing experience. The car that I'm driving, at that stage, the odometer, the clock, registered, what was it? It was 1-8-8-8-8. I think there was 5 8s. Now, that might not say anything to you, but I want to explain to you what happened to me when I saw that. I wasn't even going to look at the clock. When I opened my eyes after praying and speaking to God and crying a bit about myself and my life and whatever, I opened my eyes and it felt like something took my eyes and my eyes were like pushed down, and it was like that clock came, those number eights became bigger and bigger and bigger. And the moment that happened to me, something inside me, my whole spirit went, I can't explain it to you, I just know what I felt. And at that moment, I knew that God is talking to me through the number eight, which might sound a little bit weird to you, but God can speak in weird ways. You know, God speaks through donkeys. He can speak through a number eight. So here's the thing. I sat there and I thought to myself, man, this, whatever I'm experiencing now, this is not normal. And my spirit began to quicken. My heart began to beat fast. And I got this realization, God is trying to tell me something through this number. I had an idea what the number meant, but I wasn't sure. So I Googled it. And this is what it said. The number 8 is the number that is used in the Bible to denote a new beginning. It's interesting to understand that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the 8th day of the week. And it was on the day of Jesus' resurrection that man was given the opportunity to have a brand new life. Because the Bible says if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you believe that God has risen him from the dead, then you will be saved. In other words, then your life will change. Jesus came out of death into life on the 8th day. And God began to speak to me, and I had this very strong impression that God is saying to me that because of that, something new, a new beginning is going to come. Well, let me explain to you something. When God speaks, God can speak today, and sometimes we have the expectation that it has to happen tomorrow, but God never tells us what he means or when it is going to happen. So I spoke to one or two people that I'm close to, and I shared with them that this is what happened. There was a while ago, I shared with my team here at the bottom that this was the experience that I had about a new beginning. And you know what? I want to say to you that I can see that God is busy doing something new. And I want to explain something to you, and this is what I want to talk about today, and this is what I'm going to pray for people about today, because when God says something, God releases an anointing to bring his word to pass. And God spoke to me, and God said to me that a new beginning is coming. And I want to explain something. This is not just about me. This is about us. Because you see, we are all linked. You are my family in Christ. You are my sister in Christ. You are my little boy in Christ. You are my sister in Christ. You are my brother from another mother in Christ. We are all linked in some way. And when God speaks to me, God speaks to the people that God put under my care. And I want to say something to you for the people that are sitting here. God gave me this word. God said to me, a new beginning is coming. There's a lot of people that have been stuck for a long time. There's a lot of people that have been trying to fight against something that they don't understand. And I want to say something to you. Without God's help, it is impossible. Can any of you change yourself? I'm sure some of you have tried. You can try positive thinking. You can try Reiki. You can try hypnosis. You know, none of those things really works. Most of them just actually take you deeper and deeper into the dwang. All of us in some way need to experience this. We need a new beginning. And when God spoke that word, an anointing was released. But the anointing first has to start working. You know, when you have I'll explain it to you this way. How many of you have ever tried to work on your own car? Okay, the woman, most of you are not going to raise your hands, but the man has. Yeah, you will know what I'm talking about, Leonard. I went to his house the other day to go pray for his daughter. I got there at like 8:30 at night. He was up to his eyeballs in grease and oil and all sorts of stuff, fixing somebody else's car. I know the feeling. I've been there many times. And you know, me, I live on a plot. And for those of you that have been there, it's lovely to live out there in nature, but I want to tell you something. Nature can be very harsh, especially when the grass keeps growing and you have to keep cutting them. You have no idea how much punishment those lawn mowers take to cut that big a piece of ground. And every now and then these things break and you have to fix them. And the one thing that happens many times, whether it be the car or the lawn mower, you've got, let's call it, tough nuts. Why are you laughing? What are you thinking of? Apparently, you need more prayer than I thought. What I mean by that is sometimes you get this nut, it will not come loose no matter what you do. It's the same when you try and work on a 30-year-old car. Me, I have two or three of them. 30 years. I think my oldest car is like 35 years old. That's like older than most of you. That's like, it's definitely older than you, and it's not as old as you, but it's older than you. And it's, anyway, and then you try and take it off, and no matter what you do, that thing just doesn't want to move. Now, here's what you, there's two ways of handling it. One is to take a blowtorch and you heat up the nut. You make it red hot, it comes off quick. But sometimes your oxyacetylene bottle is empty. Now, what are you going to do? Then we got something, it's called penetrating oil. You spray it and you leave it. You come back later, you spray it and you leave it. And the thing is, you have to leave it, because if you spray it now and you try and take it off, you're going to strip the nut. It has to take its time to penetrate. Now, this is what I'm getting at. When God says something and the anointing is released, it cannot work the same day that it was given, because the anointing has to penetrate. It has to have some time to work. And the Holy Spirit is the one that works behind the scenes to make sure that that word is penetrating. I'm going to say that it was roughly two and a half months ago that God gave me this word. And I almost want to say to you, after I received the word, it looked like things got worse and worse and worse and worse. But let's compare it a little bit to when you have to heat up that nut. When that heat comes, I'm sure it's not nice for the nut, but the heat has to come before that break can come, and it can come loose. That anointing is working now. And I'm going to tell you why. I had an interesting week. I had a very interesting week. I prayed for a lot of people this week. And I had two people that are close to me, that I've been, in a sense, crying out to God about their life and about their situation for a long time. And in this week, I saw the hand of God move in an amazing way. And boom, boom, two massive breakthroughs in 1 week. And you know what? After that, I just thought to myself, you know, this is the promise God gave me 2.5 months ago. Situations that for a long time had looked impossible, just so easy, so quick, so without palaver or problems or anything like this, it just fell into place. Here's the scripture that I want to give you. Isaiah 43 verse 18 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Isaiah 43 verse 18. Listen carefully. God's word to me was a new beginning. And I love the way that Isaiah 43 starts. He says, "Forget the former things." Do you know why some of us get stuck? Because we're stuck in the past. We're stuck in the pain of the past, the hurt of the past, the rejection of the past, the fears of the past, the disappointment of the past, the injustice of the past. You know, the devil knows that as long as the past is not closed in your life, the future cannot open in your life. And here's the thing. It doesn't help God gives this word and the anointing is released for a new beginning if you are the one that doesn't want to let go of the past. And I want to say something to you. This is a problem with most people. I can't say it's a problem with every single person, but I've been in this ministry for many years, roughly 20 years, and I've prayed with and counseled thousands of people. The devil doesn't want the things of the past to go, because he knows how debilitating it will be for your life if you do not let go of the things of the past. Now, he starts off, he's talking, Isaiah 43 is talking about a new thing that's coming, but he says, I want to tell you about the new thing, but the something that's more important than the new thing that's coming is the old thing that has to go. Forget the former things. You see, I don't know your life, but I do know that all of you has been through stuff. Some of you have been through the mill. Some of you have been through the grindstone. Some of you have been through the wars, and it's left scars. In some of you, it's left hurt, deep gashing wounds in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit. Some of you can't forget what some people said to you, what some people did to you. Some people, you used to be in a relationship, the relationship didn't work, you moved on, but you didn't really move on because you're still stuck in that relationship. It's all former things. And God cannot bless you with new things if the former things are not resolved in your life. And there is only one person that does not want the former things to be resolved. Whether it be a man that hurt you, a woman that hurt you, a child, a sibling, a father, a mother, a grandfather, it doesn't matter. As long as it's there, the enemy has power. And I want to promise you something. The new thing that God says is available for you will wait. Because God is not going to release it until you are in a place in your life that you can receive it and it can work for you. So he starts off this, he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. You don't have to answer, this is a rhetorical question, but how often does your mind go back to former things? How often does your mind take you to past failures, past rejection, past disappointments, past backstabbing, gossip, slander, whatever? I want to say something to you. As long as that is where your mind keeps taking you, the new thing that God says is just about to come will wait. Because before the new thing can come, God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. You have a past. Well, God bless you. So do I. Our past is not as important as where we are going, but the devil will make it the most important thing in your life. He does not want you to let go. Can I tell you why? Because every time your eyes go back, you relive the hurt, you relive the pain, you relive the rejection, you relive the fear. All these things keep waking up inside of you. And how can you feel the peace of God if there is turmoil? If there is hurt, if there is pain, if there is confusion. See, I am doing a new thing. God gave me a word. The word was for me and the word was for all of you. God is about to do a new thing. A new beginning. Amen. Listen to me. See, I am doing a new thing. Now, you can ask me what the new thing is and I can't answer you. But I can tell you where the new thing is coming from. The new thing is not coming from man. It's not coming from a person. It's coming from God. Well, what do we know about God? We know that God is a Father who loves us, who cares for us, who has good plans for us. Jeremiah 29 verse 18, 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. What kind of new thing would God have in mind if he says in his own words that those are his plans for you? Look at your neighbor and say, the new thing is good. This new thing that God has planned surpasses your biggest imagination about nice and awesome and wonderful things. And it might have nothing to do with what you would think of. Because the Bible says there's a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. Sometimes what we want and what God has in store for us is completely different. But we should accept what God has, because what God has works. What we fight for sometimes. God sometimes, I think he sits up there on his throne and he says, man, you know, look at that oak. Again, he's getting upset because I'm not giving him this. But if I give it to him, there's just going to be pain and suffering. But if he can just accept what I have for him, there's going to be peace, joy, hope, and love. Sometimes we must make peace with the fact that God is not going to give us everything we want. Because everything we want is not always conducive to happy living. Sometimes it's going to create turmoil. Sometimes it's going to bring a disaster. But here's the thing. There is an anointing that has already been released. You know those tough nuts that I was talking about? That thing that made you be stuck. God has already sprayed it quite a few times. His word was released. The anointing was released for it to loosen. The devil wants you to be stuck in your circumstances. He wants you to be stuck in, call it depression, call it sickness, call it bitterness, anger, hatred, resentment, confusion. God says, I want to release you because I have something brand new, amazing, wonderful, and spectacular for you. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Did you hear that? Not in a month's time, in a year's time. Now, today, it springs up. Do you not perceive it? No, we don't. Because when it comes to spiritual things, most of us we're a bit blinded. But the fact is, God is speaking to us, and God says, the anointing is here. The power has been released. The word has already been spoken. And you know what? The Bible also says that God is not a man that he should lie. Yes, I waited, let's say, 2.5 months to actually see this word come to pass. But in 1 week, I could see how the power of God was released. And I could see how two wonderful people, how their lives were turned upside down. And I knew inside of me, it was part of the word that God gave me. The power and the anointing has been released for this to come to pass, for this to take place. Now, I am making a way in the desert, and I am providing streams in the wasteland. You know, both people that I saw God change their lives right now, I think if they had the opportunity to talk, both of them would say to you, they were stuck in a desert somewhere. But God says, I will bring streams in the desert. And I will provide the way out. God doesn't want you stuck in the desert forever. God wants you to go through the desert. Sometimes the things that happened in your life caused you to be stuck in the desert. You don't have to live in the desert. You can be moving through the desert. There's a big difference. In the desert, God teaches us things. God speaks to us. God gets us to understand a lot of things. But the desert is not, look at your neighbor and say, the desert is not your destination. It's just part of the journey. I want to speak to a lot of you, because I know that your life, somehow you are in a desert now. And you know, many times the devil will talk to you and say to you, you know what, why are you even trying? Why are you even wasting your energy and your time? This is just the way it is. Make peace with the fact that this is your life. God doesn't care about you. I also want to remind you, the devil is a liar. This morning I had to deal with some lying spirit that was unhonoring and causing a problem. The devil likes to lie to us. He loves to lie to us. But the desert is not a destination. It is part of the journey towards the promised land. And the good news is there is a promised land for every single one of you. Canaan is real. Amen. And I'm not saying that you must immigrate to Australia or to Israel. I'm saying to you that there is a place called Canaan that is ready for you. It is a place of joy. Let me show you the scripture. I'm actually going to read it from my Bible. Isaiah 65 verse 17. I know that this is God speaking to the Israelites, but God gave me this word, and this is God speaking to me and you today. I want you to listen carefully. Isaiah 65. I'm going to read from verse 17. And I want to make you a promise. God is going to speak to all of you today. Open your ears and listen. Behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered. You know, all the things that get you all stressed and all charged and freaking out and going all mental and whatever the case might be. God says you're not even going to remember them. I'm going to suck them out of you. The things that control your life right now that cause you to be angry and frustrated and depressed and negative and bitter. It's going to disappear. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to your mind. Look at your neighbor and say, God is going to suck the rubbish out of my mind. God's heavenly vacuum cleaner. You know, for some of you, a small little hand vac is okay. For some of you, God needs an industrial big boy because there's a lot of rubbish up there. But I don't care how much you got. God says, you will not even remember. It will not even come to your mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people will be a joy. You know, I'm speaking to the crankiest, bitterest, most depressed, most negative, most stressed person sitting here, whoever that might be. You will become a joy. Did you hear what I said? God says, I'm going to completely turn you around. I'm going to completely change your life. You will become a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem, and I will take a delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it. No more. Did you hear that? For all of those that lie at night and you weep and you cry and your old pillow is wet and you have to go and take another one, and it's going to stop. God says something is about to happen and your tears are going to dry up. You know why your tears are going to dry up? Because you're going to have nothing to cry about anymore. God is going to change your life. God is going to change your circumstances. God is going to change you. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. At this time, Israel had a lot of infant deaths. And there was a lot of people that died before their time. Now listen to what he says here. He who dies at 100 will be thought to be a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. God says, I will even increase your lifespan. When somebody doesn't reach 100, people are going to go to their funeral and say, there must have been something wrong in this oak's life. Maybe you are cursed. What God is talking about is the favor of God, prosperity, life, abundant life manifesting in the lives of his people. So that having an experience like living to 100 years of age will not be weird. That will be the norm. It symbolizes how God is going to take care of his people. Then he says this. They will build houses and they will dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and they will eat its fruit. No longer will they build houses and others will live in them, or plant and others will eat. There are many of you, yeah, that's how you feel. Every time I work hard for something, it's like somebody else takes it. I don't get to experience the fruit of my hands. I work my fingers to the bone and I'm not the one that has the blessing of it. Somebody else always runs away with it. Raise your hands if you've ever felt that way. Keep your hands up. Listen to what God is saying to you today. No longer will they build houses and others will live in them. God is going to stop injustice. No longer will they plant and others will eat. They will build houses and they will dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and they will eat its fruit. Now I want you to raise your hands because God is talking about the work of your hands. God says, no longer will you be able to say to me, Lord, the work of my hands are cursed because I can't have the fruit of it. God says, the time has come that you will have the benefit, the fruit, the favor, the blessing of the work of your hands. So I want you to raise your hands and you say to the Lord, Lord, today, you are speaking to me about my hands. No longer will these hands be seen as a curse. Today, that is changing. My hands are blessed. I will have the fruit of these hands. Praise you, Lord. They will not give the Lord a hand. Yes. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. Do you hear that? You will long enjoy. In other words, what is that talking about? That's talking about your retirement. Okay, some of you should open your eyes wide now because you're getting close to that time. Mr. João, you're going to have a good life even when you stop working. Now, I'm not cursing him. I'm blessing him. Because look at what he says. He says, for as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. Even if you stop working tomorrow, you will still enjoy the work that you did. That will be the grace of God. That will be the favor of God upon your life. And then they will not toil in vain. In other words, nobody is going to work for nothing anymore. God will make sure that you will reap the harvest and the reward of the hard work that you have put in. You know, down here in this world, sometimes things can be very unfair. You get some people, they do hardly any work and they got big bags of money. You get other people, they work their fingers to the bone, they got nothing to show for it. God says, I'm going to set the record straight. You will get what you deserve. And then he says, they will not toil in vain, nor bear children doomed to misfortune. Did you hear that? God says, nobody is going to bring a child into this world that is coming into this world to suffer. I will, just as I bless you, I am going to bless your children. Yes. Amen. Praise God. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. Oh, did you hear what he says? God gave me a word, a new beginning. What is this new beginning? It is the opportunity to enter into a new place where we no longer experience the curse, but we live under the blessing of God. And he gives us a promise, not just you, but you and your descendants. Before they call, I will answer them. Oh, wow. You know, for those of us that cry and cry and cry, and then we have this thing like, God, are you even listening to me? He says, I'm going to answer you before you even ask me. How's that for scary? It's like, Eddie's still thinking about, oh, you know what, I should probably pray about that. Then the boss comes walking in there and he's already got the raise. Amen. I'm prophesying over you, man. Smile. There we go. You know, you're going to have a need before you even get to the point that you say to the family, let's get together and pray about this. Boom, God meets the need. Why not? That's God speaking. The anointing has been released. The tough nuts are coming loose. That which is holding you back is beginning to let you go. Then he says, the wolf and the lamb will feed together and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. What type of beginning does God want for you and me? Exactly what I read to you now. I know this word was spoken of Israel. I know to some extent this is prophetic about what is going to happen. But it's also real because God spoke it. And today God is speaking this into your life. And what God wants from you is for you to have faith. It's for you to have faith that God is well able to do what he says he will do. Because we serve the God of signs and wonders and miracles. We serve the God of Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, David, Peter, Paul, and John. And what he did for them, he's well able to do for you. You know, God will never, never abandon you. But sometimes we also have to wait for a specific season to come. You know, we're going through winter right now and everything out here looks bleak. There is a need for winter. Even though we don't like it, without winter, summer cannot come. And you know, probably a lot of us have been going through a specific season that we might not know why we were in that season, but when things are better and we look back, maybe we will understand a lot of things that we question today. But what God is saying to us is, and if I understand this correct, summer is coming. Things are going to be different. There's going to be abundance. There's going to be life. There's going to be prosperity. There's going to be peace. There's going to be love. There will be restoration. And the favor of God is going to be poured out. It's going to be a new beginning. You know, new beginnings in the Bible is pretty much the central theme of everything that we believe. So why would it be strange that God talks about a new beginning? I don't know if you understand the concept, but you cannot become a child of God unless you enter into what the Bible calls a new birth. Think about it. What is a new birth? A new birth is a new opportunity. It's a new life. It's a new beginning. And it's not a cursed life. It's a blessed life. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. God speaking. Peter speaking. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. The mercy of God is for us to have the opportunity to be born again. What is being born again? It's the opportunity to have a new beginning. You have the opportunity to have the new beginning. It's part of how we live our life. Without a new beginning, without a new life, without being born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What is hope? Okay, here's what hope is. Hope is the unwavering faith and belief in God that no matter what my circumstances today, tomorrow they'll be better. I can't explain how. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that I know because God lives, because of what Jesus did for me. I don't have to wallow in self-pity. I don't have to be stuck in this pit because things are about to change. That's what hope is. And you know what? One of the biggest diseases is that we have in the era that we live in. People are hopeless. People have no hope. In Christ, you have a living hope. I want to tell you something. I don't care what your circumstances. I don't care how deep you are in the pit. I don't care for how long you have been going around the mountain in the desert. There's hope. Jesus is hope. And today, hope is speaking to you. He's saying to you, listen, yeah, yes, it might have been like that for a time, for a season, but it's about to change. I am about to do something new. The scriptures that we started says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Lamentations 3 verse 22 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning with God is a new opportunity to have a new life. Today is an opportunity to have a new life. Getting back to what God spoke to me. God has spoken to me on a number of occasions in my life. And one thing I can tell you, every time God spoke to me, something happened. I cannot tell you one time, I'm not talking about when somebody else prophesied something over me. I'm talking when God spoke to me directly. Whether like this, through that number, whether through a dream or a vision, or when I was reading the Bible and something jumped out at me, every time God spoke to me, it was just a matter of time before things shifted and things changed. Because when God speaks it, it comes to pass. You want to understand the power of God? The power of God is the spoken word. When God speaks it, it comes to pass. I have shared this with you many times, but it's nice to hear it again. God, when He created the heavens and the earth, we don't read that He spoke to Michael, the archangel, and Gabriel, the archangel, and He said to them, get millions of angels ready because they're going to have to start shoveling dirt and doing things and creating a world. No, all He did was speak it. Because when God speaks it, creation comes into place. God doesn't have to send a million angels to sort out the problem that you're facing right now. He just has to speak to the problem and the problem will disappear. Jesus Himself said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain to go into the sea and it will obey. Do you know why Jesus said that? Because that's how Jesus worked. Do you know that many of the times Jesus healed people, He didn't touch them. He just said, you are healed. Boom. The person was healed. He spoke it. Why? He's God. That's how God works. God simply has to speak. Now, God spoke to me 2.5 months ago. The word went forth. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, and God sent forth His word and healed them. If God can send forth His word and it brings healing, then God can send forth His word and it'll bring deliverance. God can send forth His word and it'll bring prosperity. God can send forth His word and it'll bring change. Why? Because the word of God releases the power of the Holy Spirit. The word has been released. And today I'm releasing that word into every single one of you. And I'm releasing into you Isaiah 65, Isaiah 43, 1 Peter 1 verse 3, Lamentations 3:22. I am loosing that word into your life. And I want to say something to you. The word of God will not return unto Him void. It will accomplish what it was sent forth to do. A new beginning is released in your life. It starts today in Jesus' mighty name. Well, praise God. Did God speak to somebody today?
Oh, yes.
Then put your hands in there and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Amen.